Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Me'ilah Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find the second line from the top of Daf Chof Aleph. The Mishnah deals with a shaliach, an agent who is expected to carry out the will of the individual who sent him on a mission. And as we saw at the beginning of the perek, we were dealing with a shliach that fulfilled his mission and one who did not fulfill. So we continue in that spirit. Omar Loi, the owner, the balabos, the balabaya said, Haveli min hachaloin o min hadluskima. Bring me something that's sanctified. But he doesn't spell that out, of course, because in order to be in violation of Mi'ilah and guilty of a Osham Mi'ilos, one has to be unaware of what he's doing. He has to be Beshogeg. So someone instructs his friend, his Shaliach, bring me some sanctified money, some monies that happen to be sanctified, from the window or from the Dluskma, a box, the Hevilo, and the agent brought it to him. Afopi Shomar Balabayas Lo Hoyo Belibi Elomise, even though the owner says, oh, I wasn't thinking about this window that you brought it from, the Hevi Mise Balabayas Moal. The fact that the owner's true intent or specific intent was something that he had in mind alone, that doesn't cancel the agency, and rather this is a fulfillment of what the original owner's instructions were, and therefore the act of the agent reflects back on the owner, and therefore the balabayas is considered in violation. So that even though the balabayas claims later on, oh, I didn't intend you to bring from the window you brought it from, I had in mind a different one, nevertheless, that is of no relevance. Avoim Omar Lo Hove Li Min HaChalon. If, however, the owner said, bring me from the window, the Hevi Lo Min HaDluskamo, and he brought from the box, Oi Min HaDluskamo, or the instructions were, bring me from the box, the Hevi Lo Min HaChalon, and instead the Shliach brought him something from the window, then hashaliach mo'al. In that case, the instruction was not fulfilled whatsoever. And as we've learned earlier, in that case, the shaliach, the agent, is guilty of mi'ilah and not the owner. We have a new marking, a new shape as far as this sugya is concerned, and it's explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we have a Nosei as a topic heading combined with our Mivneh, our structural note. The trapezoid or volcano shape appears, Sholach Biyad. You'll notice that appears twice in this Mishnah. These are Mikrim, these are cases, Shel Shlichus Kesef Hekdish Lechenvoni, where someone is sending money that happened to be sanctified to a store owner in anticipation of a purchase. We'll have a case of Sholach Biyad Chiri Shet V'Katon, where the money was sent with a type of individual that legally is called incapable, a cheresh, a deaf mute, a shota, an imbecile, or a kotna, a minor. Another case is where the money was sent beyond pikeach, a person that is of sound mind. Now the Mishnah, it continues, sholach beyond cheresh to v'koton, a person sent some money with one of these incapable individuals. Im osu shlichuso, balabayas mo'al. If they did what he sent them to do, then their action reflects back on the owner, and he is in violation of Mi'ilah. Lo asu shlichuso, if they did not do what he intended, then the store owner that receives the money from them, chenvoni mo'al lichashiyotzi, the store owner will become guilty of Mi'ilah, as we said, after he receives the money, and then he transfers the money, he gives it to someone else. That would be the point at which Mi'ilah would be violated, and we emphasize the chenvoni, not the owner, and not the shaliach. Sholach biad pikeach, the owner sent some sanctified funds with a man of sound mind. V'nizgar ad shelo higia etzel chenvoni, and he remembered that, the money that I gave him, my shaliach, that's holy money, that's sanctified money. Then what happens? Chenvoni mo'al l'cheshiyotzi, the store owner will be the one guilty of Mi'ilah when he eventually takes the money that he received and transfers it to someone else. The Baal HaBayis will not be mo'al because he is aware of what happened. And as a result of that, there is no Mi'ilah guilt, so to speak, with regard to the need to bring a Mi'ilah sacrifice. If we take a look at the Rashi, Hechenvoni Mo'al, Rashi, just across from here, line or two up, V'lo Baal HaBayis, V'lo Shaliach. The Baal HaBayis lo Mo'al, the Baal HaBayis is, if you notice, we skip the parentheses section, the Baal HaBayis, the original owner, is not Mo'al, the Kevon Dinizgar, Baal HaBayis, Koidim Shinasa Shlichuso, since the Baal HaBayis remembered that the money was holy, was sanctified before the mission was carried out, Iftar Le Mimi'ilah, he is exempted or extricated from the realm of Mi'ilah, Avilei Mezid. The expenditure will be done with his knowledge. That's called Mezid. Knowledge. Mi'ilah Eino Noheges Ela B'Shkoga. Mi'ilah, the whole topic of Mi'ilah, which requires the bringing of a sacrifice, of an Osham Mi'ilos, is only binding when it's done unwittingly. That's what he means. Eino Noheges Ela B'Shkoga Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, V'chata B'Shkoga Mikotshei Hashem. Ushliach nami lo mo'al sherei osa shlichuso. The shliach is not in violation of Mi'ilah because he did what he was expected to do. And in the case of Mi'ilah, the action of a shliach that does what he's expected to do reflects back on the one who sent him. And therefore the shliach is out of the picture. Avol chenvoni mo'al shiyotzi. The chenvoni will be in violation of Mi'ilah when he himself takes the money that he got and spends it. The hayo v'eino yodea t'shel hekdish, since he is unaware that it's sanctified. Havyo shkogo gabe, the unwitting aspect is in his domain. So now the Mishnah continues. Ketzad yaseh, what should the owner do to spare the chenvoni of a Mi'ilah violation? The Mishnah answers, Noitel Pruta Okli, he should take a coin or a vessel, the Omer, and he should then declare, Pruta Shel Hegdish B'chomokam Shehu, the sanctified money, wherever it may be at this point, Mechulol Alzeh, its sanctity should be transferred onto this, namely the coin or vessel that he set aside. Shehegdish Nifteh B'kesef U'B'shove Kesef. Sanctity can be redeemed through cash or through cash equivalent, things of cash value. The Gemara now asks, regarding the Mishnah had said, and you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This draws your attention to the arrow that's positioned opposite the third line. The Gemara is asking, my komash malon, that which the Mishnah said, afapi shomar Baal HaBayis, even though the Baal HaBayis had said that I had in mind something other than what you did, what is the Mishnah telling us with that point? Answer, dvorim shebelev einam dvorim. Thoughts in the mind are of no legal consequence. In other words, if the if the shliach did what the original owner said verbally, in other words, the original owner said, "Bring me the funds that are in the window," and he brought money from a window. That was money that was lying in a window. Even though the Baal HaBayis claims that he had in mind a different window, but ostensibly the shliach did what he was supposed to do, and therefore the claim of the owner later that I had in mind something else is of no consequence, and therefore the agent did what he was expected to do, and the action of Me'ila therefore reflects back onto the original owner. The Gemara continues, Shilach biad chere sheite v'koton im osu shlichuson Baal HaBayis mo'al. Our Mishnah said that if someone had sent some funds of Kodesh through an incapable individual, if they did what he expected them to do, they carried out their mission, they did their shlichus, so their action then is effective in reflecting back the me'ila onto the owner that sent them. The Gemara asks, V'ha'olav b'nei shlichusaninu. They are not capable of being agents. Agency is a halachic category of behavior, and they are not acceptable as agents. So how does the Mishnah say that what they did, in effect, constitutes shlichus, and has the ability of reflecting back on the owner? To answer this question, you'll see two approaches, and they're reflected by our markings with a house shape. You'll notice on the outside margin of the Gemara, we have a nosei, mivne heading, where the house form appears. They are shnei deos, two approaches, two opinions, lahasbir, dafapi b'cheri sheite v'koton enom b'nei shlichusa, that even though these people, the cheri sheite v'koton, are not capable of being shluchim, agents, mikomakom im bitzu ratzon Baal HaBayis, if they executed the will of the owner, Baal HaBayis mo'al. The Baal HaBayis is said to be in violation of me'ila. What the Gemara will do, these two opinions will do, will show us precedence for a type of agency taking place, even though the means was through something that's not of sound mind, might not even be human. So we will basically see a concept here of owner's desire fulfilled, and that is enough to constitute this type of shlichus. Granted, in many other areas of halacha, where the agency is not a factor in arousing simple fulfillment of desires, but rather it's a means of accomplishing a certain legal ends. In such cases, we wouldn't say that a cheres sheite v'koton can function. However, in our topic, we're dealing with accomplishing, fulfilling the desire of the owner. And if that desire is fulfilled, even though the means of accomplishing that were through those that are incapable, inept, that becomes a non-interfering factor, and we say the shlichus is fulfilled. So what are the precedents for this? Omar Rabbi Elazar, Asa'um, we are viewing them, the Cheres Sheite V'Koton, Kema'aton Shel Zeisim. Like this vessel called a ma'aton of olives. In pressing olives, olives are gathered together and they're compressed to a certain degree, at which point their close contact with one another creates a certain level of heat development and the subsequent oozing out of the olive juices, if you will, which eventually will be part of the olive oil pressing process. In general, there's a concept called being machshir things lekabel tuma. This idea arises when vegetation or food items become wet, and their wetness is a type of, their wetness is accomplished or transpires with the desire of the owner. In other words, the owner is happy, is satisfied with the presence of this wetness. If you have a situation of wetness affecting a type of vegetation, but it's the wetness is something that the owner is not happy with, he would prefer it not being there, then the food item in question is not mukhshar lekabel tuma. A dry fruit, for example, is something that will not mekabel tuma. It won't absorb tuma, because we say it has not been mukhshar lekabel tuma. Only if it's wet, but the wetness that is found on the fruit must be a wetness that there was a desire for its presence. Notice we use the word desire for its presence, so that this vessel called the Ma'aton Shel Zesim will be a means of producing this wetness on the olives, and at that point they will be mukhshar lekabel tuma. And even though you don't have a human being involved in making these olives wet, it's rather their presence in the ma'aton that causes them to ooze forth their the olive oils, and that is something the owner is happy with, and therefore the olives become mukhshar lekabel tuma. So what do we see? We see fulfillment of desire of owner being accomplished through something that's in fact not human, and still it is effective. The Gemara brings in the Tanaic source that is the background for what we have mentioned. Disnan hazesim olives meimosam mekablim tuma. From what point are they ready? Are they capable of absorbing ritual impurity? Mishiyaziu Zeyas Hamaton, when they start to maziu, yaziu is to exude liquids. But at what point or when, under what circumstances, if it's Zeyas Hamaton, it's an exusion in the ma'aton, which is a vessel that's associated with the olive oil press, the loi Zeyas Hakupa, but not Zeya, not an exusion that takes place in the harvesting baskets. Kupa is a harvesting basket. In fact, it's explained elsewhere that these baskets had had gaps in them or holes in them, whereby the liquids that would have exuded are actually going to go to be lost. They're going to drip out through the holes. And as far as that is concerned, the owner is not satisfied. He's not happy with that situation. Therefore, the zeya in the kupa is not going to be machshir the zesim for kabbalas tuma. The zeya that exudes in the ma'aton is something that is a fulfillment of the desire of the owner, and therefore the zesim will be fit for absorbing tuma, muchshir lekabel tuma. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, notice he also has a house shape around him, and he gives us another precedent or basis for this concept of shlichus as being effective when the goal is to fulfill desire of owner, even though the means is a non-bardas, a non-human being, even a non-human being, and certainly if it were through a chereshet v'katan, it would be accomplished. And what's the example that Rabbi Yochanan cites? Rabbi Yochanan Omer ka'oisis shoninu, like that which we were taught in the following Tanaic source, which comes from the realm of Eruvin. Eruvin is a situation where a person wants to extend the distance that he can walk on Shabbos out of his domain, out of his city where he's dwelling, in a particular direction. This is called Eruv Tumin. In order to enable a person who otherwise is restricted to a distance of 2,000 amos outside of a city, he can place a unit of food, an amount of two meals worth of food, at a distance beyond that, outside, at a distance outside the city, and from where he placed his food down, he would have another 2,000 amas that he can walk in that direction. In our limud and our study today of Mila, we're not going to get into the extensive detail that's relevant to the topic of Eruv Tchumen, but suffice it to say that in order to achieve this we'll call location extension, you have to place the food down at a particular point. Let's say the food got to that particular point outside of the city by means of a monkey or an elephant that brought the food to that point. Will that be an acceptable Eruv Tchumen? So we will see that it will be, in fact, effective. The source says, Nosnoi, he placed the food, Al Gabi HaKoif, on a monkey, Vaholicho, and the monkey brought it to that point. Oi, Al Gabi HaPil, Vaholicho, he put it on an elephant, and the elephant brought it to that point. Harei Ze Eruv. The Eruv, Tchumen, is effective. Alma, we see from here, Ko Avdo Shlichuse, that his agency, or the agency, was accomplished. The mission was accomplished. Tochinami, so too, in our Mishnah, with regard to the coins, the hektish coins being brought to the store owner through a cherish shaita v'katan. So we say, Tochinami is avit shlichuse. The owner's desire was fulfilled, and therefore, the owner will be considered moyel. The Gemara continues, Sholach Biad Pikeach. The Mishnah spoke about the money being sent through a capable individual, and the owner reminded himself that the money was holy. And we said in that case, the Balavayas is not going to be in violation of Me'ila, because Me'ila is applicable only when it's done b'shogeg, unwittingly. The Gemara points out, V'afalgav, the lo idkar shaliach. The Mishnah declared in the case of Sholach Biad Pikeach, and he then remembered, the Mishnah says that the chenvoni is moyel, implying that only the chenvoni is moyel, and not the shaliach. The shaliach is not moyel. And the Gemara is saying, even if the shliach did not remember, or didn't recount, or become aware, the lo idkar, even though he didn't become aware that the money was kodesh, only the chenvoni is moyel. Viromini, we now raise a contradictory source. Nizkar balabayas, v'lo nizkar shliach. Notice with our markings, we're emphasizing with a dot underline the case of lo nizkar shliach. And yet here it says, Hashliach Moal, that the Shaliach is Moel. So in our Mishnah, assuming what the Gemara says to be the case, that the Shliach doesn't remember, only the Chenvoni is Moel. And the Mishnah said that the Chenvoni is Moel when he spends the money. But the Shaliach is not Moel, as far as the Mishnah is concerned. This Tanaic source that the Gemara quotes points out that if the Shliach doesn't become aware, then the Shliach in fact is Mo'el. Omar Rav Sheshes, Masnisin Kishenizgeru Shnehem. The Mishnah that says that only the Chenvoni is Mo'el and not the Balabais nor the Shliach, very simply is because the Shliach also became aware that the money was holy, was sanctified. And therefore, with awareness, we know, as we've said already a couple of times, there is no Mi'ilah violation. Don't get us wrong here. It's not allowed. One isn't allowed to take holy funds with knowledge and spend them and transfer it to other people. But we're speaking specifically about a Mi'ilah violation, which is a type of violation that carries with it the penalty of bringing a sacrifice, an osho mi'ilos, and compensation of principal plus a fifth. Well, that won't apply when it is done with knowledge, when the transfer of the holy funds took place with awareness. We now arrive at a new Mishnah with markings. the crown shape is employed over here, and we check out on the side, on the outside margin under our nosei, mivne heading, you see a crown shape featured, nosan lo in quotation marks. This expression will appear in the crown markings. Mikrim shonim shel shinui shlichus. We'll have a number of different cases where the agency is, there is a deviation in the agency from what the original instructions were. Bechelek mehem, in a few of these cases, adayin hamishaleach mo'al lamros hashinui. The original owner, the original sender, will be guilty of mila, even though there is some change in the shlichus, which is itself an oddity as far as what we've learned till this point. Up till now, we've learned that if the shliach does something other than that which he was sent to do, then the baal habayis will not be mo'el. Here, we're saying that even in some cases where a change takes place, the agency remains intact, and therefore the original sender will be guilty of me'ila. In our note, we continue number one, b'mikre rishon, hashlich nishlach liknos shnei dvorim. In the first case, the agent is sent to buy two items. In other words, he's going to take holy money, sanctified money, and use it to buy two items. That's what he was sent to do. V'holach v'kono b'chol hakesef dover echad. And then what does he do? He uses all of the money that he was given and buys one item. Once again, he was instructed to buy two items, and when he actually does make a purchase, he purchases one item. In cases 2 through 4, b'shloisha mikrim hanosafim, in the upcoming cases from 2 through 4, hashliach nishach liknos dover echad, the shlich was sent to buy one item, v'kono shnei dvorim, and in actuality, he buys two items, a kind of reverse or opposite of what happened in the first case. We now turn to the Mishnah. Nosan loy pruta. And a baal habayis gave a shliach a coin, a pruta. Amar lo have li bechetzio neros ubechetzio psilos. I want you with half of this value to buy neros. Neros are, in common language, they're translated as candles. However, for our purposes, they're receptacles that would hold the wicks. So he says, use half of the pruta to buy the receptacle, and ubechetzia, and the other half to buy psilos, wicks. V'holach v'hevi lo b'kula. Psilos o b'kula neros. The shliach went and used all of the money to buy just one of those items, either all wicks or all receptacles. Oi sh'omar lo hove li b'kula neros. Here, there's an opposite situation where he says, use the money, I'm giving you a pruta, and use the entire pruta for just either wicks or receptacles. And what does the shliach do? He buys both items. He buys with part of the money wicks and part of the money receptacles. Shnehem lo mo'alu. There is no mi'ila in this case. The baal habayis is not mo'el in these cases because his desire was not fulfilled. The shliach is not mo'el because the violation entails a pochos mishover pruta. Now, let's take a look at Rashi, who explains this further. Rashi, that you'll find, is on the lower part of the page, about 3 lines from the bottom. V'halach v'evi b'kula neros o b'kula psilos, shnehem lo mo'alu, balabayas lo mo'al shelo na'ase shlichuso. His original instructions were not fulfilled, therefore the action of the agent does not reflect back onto the sender. V'ashliach nami lo mo'al, the agent also is not in violation of ilah, she b'davar sheshina bo shlichuso, the point of change where he deviated from his original assignment, lo hoya bo elo chatzi pruta, the ein meila b'chatzi pruta. If he was given a coin to a pruta coin to buy just wicks, and he bought with part of the coin wicks, so where is the change with the other part of the coin that he bought receptacles, which he wasn't supposed to buy? But you notice that the amount laid out for the receptacles was less than a pruta, because part of the pruta he used to buy, in fact, wicks, which he was sent to get. So the deviation concerns less than a pruta. Continuing in the Mishnah. Avol, im omar loy hoveli bechetzioneros mimoko imploni, ubechetzio psilos mimoko imploni. He says, bring me with half the coin receptacles from a certain place, and with the other half of the coin, buy me wicks from a certain place. V'holach behevi lo neros mimokom psilos, upsilos mimokom neros. And the shliach went and bought each item respectively from the other one's assigned place. Hashliach mo'al. The shliach is in violation. There was what? Why is the shliach mo'al? Well, first of all, the Baal HaBayis is not mo'al because his instructions were not fulfilled. The shliach is mo'al because he deviated concerning the entire sum of money that he was given, which was a pruta. We continue with what we call here case number 3. Nosan lo shtei prutos. The shliach was given 2 prutos. V'omar lo, the sender said, leich v'havei li esrog. Spend the 2 prutos on buying me an esrog. V'holach v'hevi lo be'achas esrog u'be'achas rimoin. What did the shliach do? He took the 2 prutos, used one of them to buy an esrog, and the other one to buy a rimon, often translated as a pomegranate. Shnehem mo'alu. Both are in violation of mi'ila. The Baal HaBayis is in violation of mi'ila, because he sent him on a mission to use the holy funds to buy him an esrog, and in fact an esrog was purchased. The shliach is mo'al because he deviated in buying a rimon, which he was not asked to do, and the value spent on the rimon was in fact a pruta. So you have a pruta amount of sanctified funds being misused. Therefore the shliach is also mo'al. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Baal HaBayis lo mo'al. The Baal HaBayis is not in violation of mi'ila. Shehu Omer lo, he has a claim against the agent by saying the following: Esrog gadol hoyisi mevakesh veheveso li katon vara. I gave you 2 prutos to buy me an esrog. I expected you to bring me a nice big esrog. And what did you do? You spent on the esrog only 1 of the prutos, and thereby brought me an esrog that's small and of poor quality. So therefore, as far as the Baal HaBayis is concerned, even as far as the esrog acquisition is concerned, his desire was not fulfilled. And as we've said already a number of times, when the agency does not fulfill the desire of the owner, so then the agent's action will not reflect back on the owner, and therefore the owner is not in violation. Nosa lo dinar zahav. This is a 4th case. An owner gave a dinar zahav, as a gold dinar coin, and it might be worth noting that there are 6 silver coins, 6 silver dinarim in a single dinar zahav. The omar lo, the owner said, leich v'havei li chaluk. Take the dinar zahav that I'm giving you and buy for me a chaluk, a type of garment. We now turn to Amud Beis at the top. V'holach v'hevi lo b'shloisha chaluk u'b'shloisha talis. The agent took the dinar zahav, which we said really has the value of 6 dinar kesef. So he took 3 dinar kesef of this dinar zav. Let's say he cashed it in, or he changed it for silver coins. So he took 3 of the 6 that he got and bought a chaluk. Ubishloisha talis, and he bought with the other 3 dinar kesef a talis. Talis, another type of garment. Shnehem mo'alu, both the owner and the agent, the shliach, are in violation of mi'ila. the owner is in violation because he sent the agent on a mission to buy a chaluk and he got a chaluk. The shaliach is moyel because the shaliach bought a talis, which is something he wasn't asked to do. Rabbiuda Omer, balabayas lo moal. Rabbiuda here reflects what he did earlier, saying the balabayas is not in violation of ilah. Shuomer lo, the balabayas claims chaluk godol hoyisi mevakesh. I gave you a dinar zav for a choluk. That would have fetched for me, that would have purchased for me a large, nice choluk. Ve'vesoli katan ran, you instead expended for the choluk purchase only 3 of the 6 dinar, hence getting me a small, poor quality one. And therefore my shlichus, my agency that I entrusted with you, or appointed you, was not fulfilled at all. The Gemara. Gemara here wants to know if we can use information in this Mishnah to conclude a legal question in another topic, another realm. What happens if I send someone on a mission to purchase on my behalf a parcel of land, and he, the agent, goes and buys for me half the amount? The amounts referred to in the Gemara will be a kor and a lesech. Kor being a certain area of land, and a lesech being half that amount. Is the deal considered a deal? Or, possibly, since he bought for me something other than that which I requested, in other words, he bought half the amount, maybe there is no deal whatsoever. In our Mishnah, we saw a dinar zohav of kodesh, of holy funds being given for a mission, for a purchase of a chaluk, and he went ahead and bought with half of the money a choluk, and the other half he bought something else. And we see in the Mishnah that the balabayas, the sender, is moyel. In other words, his desire is considered as having been fulfilled. So the Gemara now asks, Shamis Mina, can we conclude from the case of a dinar zohov being given for a choluk, and he went and used only half of it for the purchase of the chaluk, and we saw that the balabayas, according to the Tanakhama, the balabayas was moil, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah. So that what we see, what we seem to see here is that less than what he desired was accomplished, and yet it is considered a fulfillment of desire. So, therefore, should we conclude from that, Man di Omar Lishlucha, one who requested of his agent, Zil Zoven Li Kura de Ara, go buy for me a kur of land, that's a certain large parcel of land, the Ozav Zoven Le Lischa, and the agent went and bought half the amount, of half a kur, Koni Lokeach, that the purchaser, in this case the sender, acquires that which was bought on his behalf. Should we conclude that? The Gemara says, no. From our Mishnah, you cannot conclude that. Amri, hocha, b'mayaskinon. Here in our Mishnah, with regard to Mi'ilah, what are we dealing with? Kagoin, da'aisi lei shove shisha b'shalosh. In fact, what was the original mission? Get me a choluk worth 6 dinar kesef. 1 dinar zov, we said, was 6 dinar kesef. What did the shliach bring back? He brought back for him a choluk worth 6. So that it's not a function of half of his desire being fulfilled, but rather his entire desire was being fulfilled. All that happened is that he got a very good deal on it, and that only 3 dinar kesef were needed to buy what he originally ordered, the choluk worth 6. Ihachi, if that is the explanation of the Mishnah, then Amo Seifa. Then let's continue with a statement from the Seifa of the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah, and let's see if this explanation really checks out. What does it say? Reb Yehuda Omer, Balabayas lo mo'al. Reb Yehuda in our Mishnah said that the Balabayas was not in violation of Mi'ilah. Shehu yochol lomar lo. The Balabayas, the owner, could protest to the shaliach, to the agent, by saying, Choluk godol ho'isi mevakesh, v'hibesali choluk katon v'ra. I ask you to use all six dinar kesef, the entire dinar zahav, for the purchase of a big choluk. And what did you do? You bought a small, poor one. Well, according to our explanation, my ra, what is ra, what is bad about what he bought? According to our explanation, the case of our mission was, the mission was to get a 6 dinar kesef choluk, and in fact he got him a 6 dinar kesef choluk. He just paid much less for it. So what's bad about that? Why would Reb Yehuda say that the Balabayas can say that you got me something small and bad? The Gemara answers, bedomim. The bad has to do with value, as the Gemara will explain very shortly. But structurally, what we have to note is that we had a question: can we conclude the case of the purchase, the issue concerning half purchase of land? The Gemara says no, because here it's not a case of half purchase. That answer remains, that our Mishnah is dealing with a case where a 6 dinar kesef choluk was ordered, and he got that. The question right now is, what does Reb Yehuda mean when he says koton v'ra? Here the Gemara explains Reb Yehuda's point. The omale, the owner can say, iavis dinar kulei, if you had given the entire golden dinar zov for the choluk, isis li shove shnei dinrim, you would have been able to get something worth 2 dinar. In other words, what did you do? You took 3 dinar kesef and got for me something worth 6. A profit, we'll say, of, or a gain, or a profit of 3 dinar kesef. Had you done what I told you to do, namely take the dinar zov, which is 6 dinar kesef, they would have given you a 12 dinar kesef choluk. Seeing that you went to a place that gave you a good deal, had you spent more money, you would have gotten even a better deal. And the profit would have been a full extra dinar zahav. That's what the Gemara means here, 2 dinarin. So that's the Balabayas' protest to the shaliach. And once again, just to review the protest then, seeing that you profited 3 dinar kesef, had you done what I told you to do, the profit would have been 6 dinar kesef. I think Andy Gemara says, Hochi nami mestabra. In fact, this is most likely the explanation behind Rebbe Yehuda, dekotani, because Rebbe Yehuda mentions in a Tanaic context, Moide Rebbe Yehuda would concede bekitnis, in the case of the purchase of kitnis, legumes that are sold by weight in general. He says, in the case of a purchase of kitnis, shishnehem mu'alu, that both would be in violation of mi'ilah. Sheha kitnis bepruto ukitnis bedinar. Kitnis is sold for a pruta, a small amount, and a kitnis can be bought for a large amount. And this will be clarified by the Gemara. Before going on in the Gemara, let's just glance at the Rashi that's found a few lines down in the narrow lines of the Rashi commentary. The Kotani Umoide Reb Yehuda bekitnis shneimol klomar im hevi lo kitnis shove dinar zahav besholosh dinrei kesef. If a person was sent with a dinar zahav to buy kitnis, and the shaliach used half of it, namely 3 dinar kesef, for the purchase of the kitnis, the balabayas nami moal, the balabayas is also considered moal. We're dealing within Reb Yehuda, that Reb Yehuda would concede that in this case the balabayas is moal. My time, Shakitnis bepruta hi kitnis pesela. The lo motzi lemei marle ihu, the balabais would not be able to protest over here by saying I yavislei dinar zov kulei, had you used the entire dinar zov for what I asked for the kitnis, havis maisis shoveh shnei dinarim, you would have been able to get two dinar zov worth of kitnis. Davu mosli gaboch mishum dezavnis tfei, they would have given you a bigger discount because you bought more. Why not? Why could all that not be a protest? Shakitnis bepruto, he kitnis bedinar. Kloma. This means to say, the lo mosli leman dezoven kitnis bedinar miman de lo zoven ela bepruto. There is no greater discount given for one who buys with a dinar, more so than one who would buy with a pruto. Alma. We see from here, from Rebuta's consent in the case of the kitnis purchase, the time of Rebuta havi gabi choluk, that the motivation behind Rebuta's opinion with regard to the garment purchase, the lomoa balabayas, there the balabayas is not in violation of mi'ilo, afagav the icy le shove dinar bishlosha, even though he, the balabayas, got his choluk worth a dinar zov for half the amount, mishum do amale, because the balabayas could, in the case of the garment purchase, have said ilu yahavis dinar, had you given a dinar for it, they would have given you something worth 2 dinar. Now, turning back to the Gemara, hechi domi, here the Gemara wants to clarify the case of the kitnis purchase, even though we already learned it in the Rashi, here the Gemara goes through it. I ba'asra dezavni b'shuma, if you're in a, asra is a location that kitnis are sold through shuma's estimated amount, an estimated value. Well, gabi kitnis nami, heichad yoev le sela, mosli le tvei. If kitnis was sold in through estimation as opposed through weight and exact amounts, then in the case of the kitnis purchase, the same thing would have taken place as we saw by the garment purchase. That if it sold through estimation, then had the person laid out more money, he would have gotten an even bigger discount. So, Omar of Papa, beduchto de mezavni bekoni. The case that Rebuta concedes with regard to the kitnis purchase is a place where it's sold bekoni, through measure. Kona, bekona, kona, kona bepruta. Each measure for a pruta. The hosam posik milsayu, there it is a definitive cost for a definitive amount, and there would be no greater discount given because a person is buying more. The Mishnah. Hamafkid mois, someone takes sanctified funds and entrusts them by, and you'll see diamonds in this Mishnah. The diamonds reflect different cases or different kinds of people that a person might be entrusting the hektish funds. We take a look at the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. You see a diamond feature, and they represent Anoshim Shonim, different people, Shehufkedu Etzlom Mois Kodesh, where sanctified funds were entrusted by them. In what state were they entrusted? You have tsurun means they were tied up in a pouch, tied shut in a pouch. Mutarin means they were entrusted in an open bag. Ma dinom im hishtam shibohen, what is the law if those monies were used by the person into whose domain they were entrusted? Another point that will come under discussion is ta'aroves pruta shel hekdish bekis shel prutas chulin, where a sanctified coin got mixed up with common coins in a particular pouch. Now the Mishnah. Hamafkid mois, etzel shulchani. Shulchani is a money exchanger. Im tsurin, if the pouch that I entrusted by the shulchani was tied shut, lo yishtamish bohen, the money changer is not expected to open up a tied shut pouch and use them. Lefikach im hotzi, therefore, if the shulchani opened up the pouch and used the money in his money exchanging, Mo'al, he will be considered in violation of Mila, and not the owner who entrusted the money to him for watching. However, im mutarin, if the owner entrusted these sanctified funds in an open bag, well, yishtamesh bohen, that's basically an invitation for the shulchani to use them. Lefikach im hotzi, if the shulchani uses them in his money exchanging, lo mo'al, the shulchani is not going to be in violation of mi'ila, rather the one who entrusted them by the shulchani. Eitzel balabayis, if the watchman is a private homeowner, beinkach ubeinkach lo yishtamish bohen, whether the pouch of money was open, was or tied shut, there is no expectation that the private person would use that with that which was entrusted in his domain. Lefikach im hotzi balabayis mo'al. Therefore, if they are used, then the shomer, in this case the balabayis, the one into whose domain they were entrusted, he will be guilty of mi'ila. Hachenvoni kebalabayis. There are two opinions regarding a chenvoni, a store owner. So the first opinion is, the store owner has the same halacha as the same din, the same legal status as entrusting it by a private homeowner. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kishulchani. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that the way we view a chenvoni is the same way we approach a shulchani. And that if you entrusted by a chenvoni an open pouch of money, it's an invitation for him to use it. So he is really not doing anything wrong per se by using it, and therefore the original owner will be guilty of mi'ila. As you can see, a slash mark appears indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. We've also written in the word resha that we want you to take note of now. It'll be of value later. Nofla pruto shel hekdish besoch kiso. A sanctified coin fell into a pouch of other common money. Oy shomar, or a situation where someone said pruto bekis ze hekdish. He declares a pruta in a particular pouch to be sanctified. Kevan shehoitzi es harishoino mo'al. Upon spending the first coin, pulling out the first coin from the pouch and using it, there is a me'ila violation. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. The thought being that the one that he pulls out, oh, that's the holy one. The Chachamim disagree and say, Ad shiyotzi es kol hakis. There is no mi'ila until the very last coin is spent. Umoide Rabbi Akiva the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva will concede to the Chachamim to their lenient approach. But Omer, in the case where someone declares, Pruto min kis ze hegdish. It's a slightly different language than that which was declared before, where he said pruto bekize hegdish. Here the language is pruto min kizze hegdish, shehu motzi vaholech vaad shiotzi es kol hakis. That there won't be a me'ila violation until he spends the last coin. This section of the Mishnah needs some explanation. We have a situation where there is a controversy, namely that's where the statement was pruto bekis ze hegdish, and we have a situation where there is no controversy, where he says pruto min kis ze hegdish. This point will be the first point discussed now by the Gemara. But before we learn the Gemara, let us take note of some of the structural phenomena here. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you notice we have noted Roman numerals 1 through 3. They appear in the Gemara as well. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see these Roman numerals 1, 2, and at the top of Chof Beis Amud Aleph, a number 3. These represent, in our note on the outside margin, we've written Gimel L'Shoinois B'Kushis Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish raises a question. Rami, you'll notice, is in a triangle. Reish Lakish, Rami is an expression indicating very often a contradiction or raising a question, a challenge. Reish Lakish makshe misefa de masnisin. Reish Lakish will raise a question from the end, based on the end of our mission, Shabor Rabbi Akiva moide lechachamim, where we find Rabbi Akiva conceding to the chachamim de ein miilo ad she moitzi pruto achron, until the last coin is spent. Now he uses that as a frame of reference and raises that as a question al makoros achirim binyone taruvas, regarding other sources where the issue of mixture comes up, Shiroyim, where we see Shiyesh Isur Kvar Meharishan, where there is violation already from the first unit. A double underline will be used to highlight a repetitive expression in each one of these versions, the expression Ba'oimer, Lo Yiftor Kis Ze Min Hahedish. Bechol echad mi lishonos 1-3 mofia oisa tshuva. The same answer will appear in each one of these. The same answer will appear to each one of these versions of the question. Let us now turn to the Gemara to unravel all of this activity. Ki also Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi arrived, he told us Romi lei reishos Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish raised a question to Rabbi Yochanan, Maishno Reisha Umaishno Seifa. In our Mishnah, what is the difference between the Reisha case, where Rabbi Akiva disagreed, and the Seifa case, where Rabbi Akiva concedes? Omale, Rabbi Yochanan said, the difference is all in the language. In the Seifa, Rabbi Yochanan says, Seifa, the Oimer, where he said, Lo yiftor kis ze min hahektish. In other words, the language in the Mishnah itself is really this. Even though the Mishnah said, Pruta min kis ze hektish, what it really means is, Lo yiftor kis ze min hahektish. What does that mean for us? So if we take a look in the Rashi, three lines from the bottom, Omar Lei, Seifa Ba'omer Lo Yiftor Kizze Min HaHektish, Shelo Yehei Bo Hektish Kol Shehu, that this pouch shall not get away with having no Hektish in it. In other words, there's a declaration that in this pouch there is something that's Hektish. The Kev of the Omar Hochi, since he said it this way, Mashma, it sounds the Pruto Achrono Ko'omar, that he's really referring to the last Pruto, the last coin, to Tei Hektish, that the last coin of this pouch should be Hektish. L'Hochi Lo Mo'al Alo Bachrono, and therefore he's not considered in violation of Mi'ilo until the last one. Therefore, in the Reisha case, there was no indication that he was focusing on the last one. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva said that even upon the drawing of the first one, there would be a Mi'ilah violation. In the Seifa, the language of declaration indicated that the last coin would be the sanctified one. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva concedes that, like the Chachomim said in the earlier example, here I too agree that you could actually spend the whole pouch up till the last coin and not be in violation of Mi'ilah. Roman numeral number 2. Ki also Ravin Omar. Kisin Ashvorim Roma Lei. Reish Lakish raised a question from the case of the pouch that we saw in our Mishnah to the case of oxen, as will become clear as we go on. Disnan. There is a Tanaic source that says, Ha'oimer Echod Mishvorai Hegdish. Person declares one of his oxen to be sanctified. Hoyu lo shnayim, if a person had two of them, Hagodol Shebohen Hekdesh. The larger one will be considered the sanctified one, based on the idea that a person, when he's makdish something, he does through ba'ayin yafeh, he does through with a gracious spirit. However, we can infer from this that had they been of equal size and quality, then the first one that comes to his hand, the first ox that he chances upon, that would be the sanctified one. So that we see that when everything else is equal, the first one is considered to be the sanctified one. Ah, but when we look at the case of the pouches, why in the Seifa of our Mishnah does Rabbi Kiva concede that the Hekdesh is only the last one? Omale, Rabbi Yochanan answers, Seifa ba'oimer, in the Seifa case, he declared specifically lo yiftor kis zeh min ha-hekdesh. And as we explained earlier, that particular language indicates that the owner's interest is in declaring the last coin of the pouch to be sanctified. But up to that point, no sanctification. Therefore, in that case, Rabbi Kiva concedes that the last one is the sanctified one, as opposed to the case of the oxen. We now turn to Chof Beis Omer Aleph. Rav Papa Omar Kisin Alugin Roma Lei. Rav Papa is Roman numeral number 3. The third version as to what Reish Lakish was raising as a question to Rabbi Yochanan. The case of Kisin, we saw in our Mishnah, the pouches, where Rabbi Kiva concedes that only the last one is sanctified or is problematic or sanctified, as opposed to the case of the Lugin, which we will see very shortly has to do with a flask of wine. More specifically, a case of wine that's untithed. The Snan, the following source, following Tanaic source, Halokeach Yayin Mibena Kusim, a person bought wine from Kusim. Kusim are people that are expected to keep the Torah, but they don't. They are of questionable, their conversion to Judaism was somewhat problematic. They are called the Kusim, and we know that they do not tithe from produce as expected. And now you have someone that is coming on Erev Shabbos, and it's very close to the onset of Shabbos. It's called Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. And we're dealing with a time that Shabbos is about to set in, and on Shabbos, per se, tithing is not allowed. So here you have a case of Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, right after sunset, which is a period of Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila, and he has this flask of wine, and he wants to drink from it on Shabbos. So what does he do? Right now it's untithed. So he makes a declaration, says, Shnei Lugin Shani Osid Lahafrish, 2%, 2 Lugim of the, we'll say it's a flask that has 100 Lugim in it. So 2 of the 100 are declared as Hare Hein Truma. In other words, 2 that I will eventually set aside, or I'll eventually leave over, they are Truma. Asora, 10 of the Lug, which is 10%, Maiser Rishon. He declares 10% to be the Maiser Rishon tithe. That's the tithe given to a Levi. Tisha, Maiser Sheni. After he set aside the 10 of the 100 for Maiser Rishon, so he's left with 90 Lug, we'll say, and 90 is 10% of that, of 90 is 9, so, and there's an expected additional tithe called Maiser Sheni, which is also a 10% tithe. It's 10% of that which remains after you took off the Maiser Rishon. So Tisha Maiser Sheni, the Maiser Sheni tithe is something that one takes to Yerushalayim and consumes over there. an option that exists in the realm of Meiser Sheni is for a person to redeem the Meiser Sheni onto money and take the money instead of the produce to Yerushalayim. So the source tells us, Umechal. Mechal is this concept of redemption, where he redeems the Meiser Sheni onto money. So at this point, what have we accomplished? We have this flask of wine. The necessary tithings were declared verbally and as existing in this flask, but they will appear at the end. And what does that enable us to do? The Shoyse Miyad, Divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, we can rely on the leftover lugim. Here we've accounted for two for Meiser, for Truma Gedola, and 10 more. That's 12 so far, for including Meiser Rishon, and another 9, that's 12 plus 9, 21 lug, that will be left over, 21 of the 100 lug. So he'll be able to drink, we'll say 89 lug, immediately. He drinks it immediately, relying on that which is left over to represent the tithes. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim, they do not allow this. Now, in order to really appreciate this, we'll go right to the Rashi, where you'll notice a little star. The Hal de Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Kashio ad Rabbi Akiva. Their opinion seems to conflict with Rabbi Akiva that we had in our mission with regard to the pouches. The Moide, Rabbi Akiva, was Moide, Shemotzi v'holech ad Achrona, that you could, in the sake of our Mishnah, you can continue, you can draw coins and go on and on and on until the very last coin. The last coin, that's the sanctified one. The chiheshi dahocha, here in the case of the wine, Omar Ein Breira, here we say no retroactive clarification. What do we mean by that? If we were to rely on Breira, something retroactive, we would be able to say that which was left over at the end, that was the quantity that was part of, that was the tithing that he declared at the beginning. Retroactively clarified that this that's left over was that which was declared at the outset as a tithe. Demin harishon amrino nami iko lemeimar shehu truo meiser. Now, by saying that we don't accept Breira, let's read this last phrase again from the diamond. The Hochomer ain't Breira. In the case of the tithing, we saw that the opinion of these Rabbonim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, that they weren't going to rely on this retroactive clarification. And as a result, Min HaRishon Amrino Nami Iko LaMeimar Shu Truma UMeiser, and therefore the first gulps that he would be taking from this flask of wine, maybe that's the Truma UMeiser. In other words, the tithes that he declared might in fact be those that are that which he's drinking right at the outset. Gabi Hektish Nami Akol Pruto Pruto Iko LaMeimar Shehi Hektish, by the coins in the pouch that were featured in the Seifa, where it had said that if a person said Pruta min kize hektish, why there in the Mishnah do we say that he can start spending first, second, third coins and onwards until the very last one? Couldn't you say that the first coin that he pulls out in fact is the holy coin? So that this presents a problem. Why in the Mishnah, in the safe of the Mishnah, is Rabbi Akiva lenient in allowing the drawing of the coins and saying that only the last one is the holy one, where here these Rabbonim say that you can't drink at all from the very beginning because of the fear that maybe the first quantity of wine that you would be drinking are the tithes? Amarle, Rabbi Yochanan answers, safe of the Masnisin, the case of the end of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Kiva was lenient, is Ba'omer lo yiftor kizeh min haikdish, where he used that expression, which, as we've explained already, means that the last coin in the pouch is that which I want to be sanctified. And therefore, with that rather clear statement that the last coin left should be the sanctified one, of course, all those that he's drawing from the pouch before that are okay. But in the case of the tithing, we don't have that luxury, so to speak, and therefore Therefore, from the very beginning, we have to suspect that maybe the quantity that he is drinking are the tithes. So, with that, we conclude our Maseches Me'ilah, and with our Shir for today.